الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله العظم بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. ولعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فزائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم. Last night we looked into one of the verses of the Quran which points out to the hijrat, which points out to the journey of man from his bait, from his house, towards Allah, towards Rasul. And if he understands maut, if he faces death while being on this journey, the ajr of it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Surah Nisa, verse number 100. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And we pointed out to that this journey is not that apparent journey, not that outward journey. It is that as well. But the emphasis for the people of insight, for the people of the batin, for those people who are after improving themselves, they would take this verse that this journey is from his self, from his ego, from his nafs, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Rasul, implementing the qawaneen of Allah upon their nafs, rather than implementing the qawaneen of their desires upon themselves. And while they have embarked upon this journey from their self, and they are implementing the qawaneen of Ilahi, the commands of God upon their nafs, this will bring about the annihilation of their self. This will bring about death to their nafs while them being alive. That is why our Prophet have asked the close ashab that you die before you die. Mata anta qablu mutu, that you die before you die, meaning that you kill all your desires that you have, and when you do that, you have killed yourself. And when a person dies, obviously he is awake. He wakes up from his sleep. There's another hadith of the Prophet that says that when a person dies, he will wake up from his sleep because he have reached the maqam of yaqeen, certainty. When this eye, the eye zahiri, the outward eye, when this closes, the eye haqiqi, the true eye, the true vision a man tend to see. And he starts seeing that already as he comes closer and closer to that time of departure. I mean, this is how insan is. He starts detesting the dunya. He might be the king of the king, the king of Roman, for example, Caesar. But when the time comes that he's leaving the dunya, he cares for his people. He wants to give Rome back to the people of Rome, rather than, you know, giving the throne to his son. So this is something in the nature of insan, that as he starts to get old, his rujhan, his tawajjuh, his focus is towards the akhirah. And as this increases day after day, it goes to the point that during the last hours of his life, he would even start seeing the ascend and descend of malaika. Isn't it that that when a person is about to die, and we have heard many a times, maybe we ourselves have seen, that they tend to sit. They tend to sit in humility. And they tend to tell the people around them that, what happened to you? Aren't you seeing the Ahlul Bayt coming, respecting them? Because they already have, you know, reached that stage. They are seeing that vision, the haq and the truth and the reality. So therefore, when this eye closes, the eye which is the zahiri eye, the vision which is the zahiri vision, the true basirat, which we ask in duas, that, O Allah, increase in my basira. The true vision, man starts to see. So that is why, and that happens when he embarks upon this journey. That happens when he start training his soul, start killing his desire, or even the desire that he has, if those desires are mubah, those desires are correct, he enlightens those desires by the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah hasn't asked us or wants to deprive us from the utilization of the ni'mat. Never. Allah wants us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every ni'mah by giving thanks, by recognizing, by looking at what is the haqiqat of that reality. And when one starts recognizing the ni'mat that have been provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he starts giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his understanding of God also increases at the same time. Hazrat Musa says that even the salt that I put in my soup, I ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That connection is there with Allah for even that little act that he is doing. Amirul Mumineen says, even I ask for the success of tying of my lace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray even for that. So man is connected. So therefore the ni'mat that have been given or the desires that a soul have to gradually in line that with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to the extent where one's desire vanishes away, fades away, but that remains to begin with. So that's what this journey, that's what this hijrat is. However, man is ghafil, as it has been mentioned. Insan really comes from nisyan, which means forgetful. The element of forgetfulness is within man. Because madda, because matter is of a substance that comes with forgetfulness. Materiality, material thing is something of that accord. Where there is greater matter, where there is madda more, materiality more, one tends to forget the spirituality. Whether that spirituality be spirituality that Islam talks about, or whether that spirituality be something else. When there is more of materialism, the aspect of hereafter, the aspect of unseen realities, it vanishes away. So, matter have the element of being forgetful. So when our ruh comes into this body, it becomes forgetful of the base. And it gets involved with the dunya. And as Hazrat Luqman in one of his hadith of wisdom says that you know, one of the things or one of the alayam of being forgetful is lahv, lahv lahib, which means that one is make oneself busy in sport, not in the sense that sport, outward sport, but sport in the sense that one overactively involve oneself in an activity. Like for example, in Surah Hadith, we tend to point out to that the quality of the dunya is that it begins with lahw, where for example, a child, you know, even starts to play with spoons and boxes. You know, he makes himself busy with that. Even though the box, the toy, you know, the shoe box or the spoon have no meaning to it, but he still make himself busy. You know, he gives a reality to it. He thinks it is of some haqiqat. That's how insan is. Insan thinks that accumulating wealth, building a maqam within the society, it is of some reality. It is of some haqiqat. But what is of haqiqat is the wujud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the existence of God. That is true. That is haqiqat. That is reality. Other than that, everything is just, you know, shallow. Other than that, everything is kazib, is false. It's like a mirage. When a person who is thirsty goes after that mirage, thinks that it is water. That's how, you know, the maqam is. That's how things are within the dunya. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So insan is at that lower level. And this is one of the interpretation of that wari hadith of the fifth imam that it says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى خَلْقَ أَلْفَ أَلْفَ آلَمْ وَأَلْفَ أَلْفَ آدَمْ وَأَنْتُمْ فِي آخِرَ الْأَوَالَمْ وَأَسْفَلَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created thousands and thousands of alam. Thousands of thousands universe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have created. Allah is, I mean, the most sovereign, is the greatest. His creation is unlimited. There is no limit. When Allah have the quality of khaliq, that means He is creating every second. We are sitting here, but at this very moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuously creating. When we stand in front of a shore, the waves continuously come one after the other. And every wave has its beauty, has its form, has its color, has its noise, has its taste, has its own reality. That's how Allah is khaliq. So He continuously creates. As they say that there are many malaika being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are doing His tasbih, that they are not even aware that Adam is created. They are completely unaware of the creation of insan. They are doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this malaika, angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this hadith of the fifth imam, Allah have created alfa alfa alam, thousands and thousands of alam, universes, in which He has created alfa alfa adam, many adams, thousands and thousands of adam have been created. I'm pretty sure you will be reminded of that hadith where a person asks Amirul Mu'mineen or the Prophet that who was, you know, what was before this Adam. Then Imam asked the third Imam to reply, he was still a child. He said it was Adam. Then he asked, what about before him? He said Adam, and Adam, and Adam, up to 70 Adams. And then finally Imam stopped his son, saying that, you know, he doesn't have the capacity to take anymore. Just stop right there. So, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created alfa alfa alam, alfa alfa adam, wa antum, and you, fi akhir al awalam, you are at the lowest of all awalam, of the all universes. And not only lowest of all, wa asfalaha, and, you know, at the bottom of it, at the bottom of it, at the lowest of it. So our journey is from there towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to really conquer. We have to go through Alpha Alpha Adam. We have to go through Alpha Alpha Alam to really reach that destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, the element of ghafla, we ourselves being Adam, you know, Adam, you know, they tend to say that in Farsi is Adam is, what does that mean? It's ah, is like just one nafas. It's ah, you know, it's breath. That's like ah, and then dam is, that's what dam means. So the whole of creation of Adam is that much. It's just one breath. Nothing much. That's what Adam is. That's the story of Adam. In this one breath, he has to take that breath that will take him towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much, and what is that journey? As they say that, they question the Imam that, how far is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from us? Then he said that it is only La ilaha illallah. That's how far Allah is from us. It's la ilaha illallah. He's not far. Wa aqrabu ilayhim min hablil warid. You know, we are closer to you than your own jugular vein. Wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. You know, he is with us wherever we are. So he's that close, but ghaflat. Ghaflat, and this ghaflat have been reported in the stories over and over again. Abdullah ibn Hawzi, you know, the person who came near the trench which Imam Hussein have dug open and lighted fire in it behind the Khaymagah in order to prevent the Yazidi forces entering and attacking the tents from the behind. He comes and he says to the Imam that, "Oh Imam, you have lighted fire already," as if that you want to go to, na'uzubillah, to the hellfire early. Ghaflat. And he says that, "I have no belief that you are from the children of the Prophet," as the argument went between them as Imam tried to guide him. But he replied in that response, in that fashion. He was ghafil of that. And here Imam have done dua. And he said that, because Imam's heart was broken, he's saying that, "I don't believe that you are the grandson of the Prophet." And at that very moment, they say that he fell into that ditch. On the day of Ashura, there were so many miracles have taken place. When Imam said something, it just happened. I mean, that itself is a subject to really look into how many miracles took place on that plain in that few hours. I mean, those few hours battle have so much in it. That is why it is considered to be the greatest of all event. That is why it is considered to be the greatest of all musibah. Fis samawat wal arz. Jamia samawat wal arz. So within that few hours, there was so much of you know, realities, issues that one could really extract from. One could really analyze the Waqi Karbala and come to the understanding that what really happened. So ghaflat, you know, he was ghafil of that. He is seeing the Imam. The person I also mentioned that he said, Imam went to his tent and he said, "You know, take my horse and take my sword, Ubaidullah ibn Hurra Jofi." That person's name is Ubaidullah ibn Hurra Jofi. And, you know, he said, "I know you, I recognize you as the Imam. I know you are the grandson of the Prophet. You are the son of Zahra," but ghaflat. He was attached to the dunya. He was attached to the matter. And as they say, there's a very beautiful shair, poem that, you know, what is ghaflat? You know, Maulavi explains this. He says, "Khashm shahwat mardra ahwal kunat." You know, the khashm, the anger. When a person is angry, he's completely ghafil. He's completely, he has forgotten who he is facing. He doesn't really, you know, when he behaves, when he shouts, when he yells, he doesn't really regard anyone around him. Although he is a sane individual. Ghaflat means that. If someone wants to understand what ghaflat means, it's that. That when a person is angry, you know, he cares less of anybody around him. And he will yell, he will shout, he would throw. He would do strange things when he's angry. And at the same time, khashmo shahwat, when an individual, you know, have shahwat come into his eyes, you know, he destroys, he burns things. And the istikhamat ruhra bi barkunat, and that spirit that is with him have no istiqama, no strength in it when he's faced with ghaflat, and with when he faced with shahwat, and when he's faced with ghazab. And then it's like as if, you know, that spirit not there. As if it doesn't exist. You know, there's a story, another story been mentioned by Maulavi, that there was a hen. When he's after that worm, and he wants to eat it, and he's so intense towards, you know, its own prey. You know, morghaki andar shikare kermbut. A morgh, you know, a chicken, a hen, was, you know, focusing for his shikar, for his prey. گربه‌ای فرصت یافت او را در ربود. And there was another cat right behind that morg, behind that chicken. You know, as this chicken is there, you know, focusing on his own prey, گربه was watching that. You know, گربه's cat. And cat was watching it, and what that cat, اکل و معقولی بودی بی خبر. You know, the person who is akil, akil means a person who is eating. So the chicken, and معقول is the thing that the chicken ate. You know, both of them were completely غافل of the cat that was, you know, about to attack. And then the cat attacked, and cat also ate the chicken, and also the worm together. That's what ghaflat is. A person becomes completely forgetful of haqiqat, of reality. You know, he doesn't really know who he is. Where Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi also mentioned this in a very beautiful way. Adami ganjine sirre haq ast. Adami is insan. Insan is the treasure of the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of haq. That's how he is. گرچه در بحر هوس مستبرق است. However, he is drowned in his own هوس, in his own desires, in his, whether this desire be a desire of a مقام. You know, Umar Sa'd, he comes to Imam Hussein, and Imam Hussein says that, why do you want to kill the grandson of the Prophet? He says, Yazid promised me the governorship of Ray, of Tehran. He's going to give me that if I kill you. Then he says that, I will provide you, I will give you that, I will give you more than that. But he wants that maqam. And he said, Yazid have said that unless I eliminate Hussein, I will not be the governor of Tehran. Then Imam Hussein said, I will give you that. Then he replies, Imam Hussein said, you will never reach, even inform him of the future, that you will never be able to get that maqam. You will never be a governor, because he was killed on the way. He didn't even reach there. Imam Hussein informed him. But in response, he said that, okay, I will just, you know, have the, you know, the wheat and the jow, you know, the barley of Tehran. You know, I don't really need that. It's just a joke. So when a person really wants to achieve a maqam, a status, you know, he becomes ghafil of everything. He will surpass the qawaneen of ilahi. He will go to the extent of killing the grandson of the Prophet. Shimmer last moments on the chest of Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein says that, you know, spare me. Imam Hussein knows that after being wounded so much, he's not going to be spared anyways. But Imam Hussein is fulfilling his duty, his responsibility of being an imam, to save humanity, to save mankind. Walau, Shimmer is the arch enemy. Maybe, you know, at least Shimmer will be saved if he leaves Imam Hussein in that state and he goes. There will be no azab for him. But Shimmer says, I want the, you know, reward from Yazid. Imam says, I will give you more than that. Says, no. Ghaflat. Forgetful. So, Adami ganjine sirre haqas. Insan, whether that be insan Shimmer, whether that be Saddam, whether that be, you know, any man, he is the treasure of the secrets of the haq. That's within him. However, you know, he is ground into his own havas. Ganje kaunain has zaat adami. It's the treasure of the kaunain, you know, zaat, of the essence of insan. Has bi payan sifat adami. And his awsaf, his qualities are infinite. Just as the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same manner, his qualities are. So he really needs to understand that. He needs to explore that, expose that, that is in him. And that doesn't happen unless, you know, a person really embarks upon this journey from his self, destroying his ego. And Shariat and the Ahkam-e-Islami, you know, outwardly speaking, the heart and core is that Shariat itself. really tries to take us away from that zat, from that soul, from that, you know, that ego. Shariat have that element. It's trying to implement that and trying to make us realize through the practice of the Sharia that we kill our ego. At least if a person fulfills that, leaving aside the akhlaqiyat, leaving aside the Islamic etiquettes and values and morals and ethics, that has a greater impact on destroying the self indeed. But Shariat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it wajib out of His mercy, out of His rahmaniyat, so that we realize ourselves. For example, fasting. He made it wajib so that we realize how strong an insan is, how powerful he is, how strong he could become. Don't we, you know, see that in the month of Ramadan? Or Salat itself, the whole ahkam of namaz, which is wajib, which is indeed to make that connection, to completely destroy ourselves. We throw ourselves and our forehead upon the ground and realize the haqq, realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, isn't it Masumeen alayhi salam, when their time of salat used to come, you know, they start to tremble and shiver because they are about to face that Lord, that reality, that hook, that the haqiqah, that connection is about to take place. They are going to be in communion with their Lord. All of those impediments, those wails, those ghaflati things, those things which make them forgetful, gonna be shattered, gonna be lifted, because they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when a person is busy into his day-to-day activity, it is greater a point that he becomes forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of haqiqah. But when he is in salat, that is an ultimate connection to God. And that hour is something else. And for that hour, the masumeen, they used to tremble and shiver. You know, the fourth imam, he was in salah and his abba fell from his shoulder. And then afterwards, you know, they asked him that the abba fell and you didn't even pick it up. And imam replied that, do you know who I was facing? Do you think I was in the sense of really doing that? And then the ashab asked that, how can we achieve this state? We don't achieve that state. We don't realize that. Then Imam replied, why don't you include the mustahabbat in your wajibat? For example, the mustahab that we do, the salawat, sami Allahu liman hamida, the takbirat that we say in salat, all these things are mustahab in the salat. So when you start doing that, you know, you will achieve that state one day where you will feel the greatness of the Lord, where you'll glimpse the communion with the Lord. So they have shown us as well, not only just, you know, informed us, not only just, you know, theoretically, left behind the treasure of Tawheed, of understanding God, but at the same time provided a path, gave us, you know, prescription how to achieve that. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And Sharia tend to, you know, fill that space, provide us with that structure. You know, people tend to highlight within the Sufism that the importance of tariqat, for instance, the methodology within different sects, but within Shiaism, the haqiqat, the reality of tariqat is nothing but shariat. There is any difference between shariat and tariqat. It's one thing. It is really through shariat that one really achieves that tawheed. It is not with other, you know, unknown or mysterious spiritual exercises that are sometimes prescribed by the Sufi sheikhs. It is not through that. The Prophet never prescribed certain such type of things, such type of exercises. He implemented Sharia in his own life. So to begin with, it is that. And as I Recall that I have mentioned that even into our day-to-day activity that we carry out. The bayah, the business, the contract of marriage, all of these things bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our life. Therefore, a person who have that vision of that spiritual vision of Tawheed, he tends to see that and tries to, and he tends to see that and recognize that to be extracted from the governing principles that exist between Creator and the creation. Which the example I gave was the relationship of a boss with his worker. Where does it extract from? Where it has been extracted from, he's considered to be boss and I'm the worker, for example, if I work for him. What is this haqiqat of this relationship? It is that very relationship which is, you know, the boss is Allah and the creation. So he tends to see that within that relationship and other relationships as well. So it's not easy. It's a continuous practice. To begin with is that very sharia that we have. An implementation of it with full of our heart. As they say that the foundation of it is tarkul muharramat. You know, getting rid, not, you know, committing things which are haram, because they are the biggest hijab. That is the thing that creates hijab. And then fulfillment of wajibat. If a person really doesn't embark up on this, doing these things, obviously, you know, that sirr, that ganj, that treasure that he is really, he hasn't really unfolded it. He remains nothing which, you know, the hadith of the Prophet, you know, which has been mentioned here, that he is insan, but he is not really an insan as such. يَحْشُرُ بَعَضُ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ سُوَرٍ تَحْسُنُ إِنْدَهَا قِرَادَةٌ وَخَنَازِيرٌ. On the Day of Judgment, people will be mahshur in beautiful forms, and at the same time, they will be mahshur in the form of qirada, monkeys, and khanazir, and pigs. That will be their reality. That is Yawma Tubla Sarair. That is on the Day of Judgment. Day of Judgment is not far from this very day. Day of Judgment is nothing but that inner eye, that closing of our eyes, and that is Day of Judgment. There is Qiyamat-e-Sughra, there is Qiyamat-e-Kubra. There is a Day of Judgment which is considered to be a small Day of Judgment, Saghir, and there is Qiyamat-e-Kubra, which is the ultimate Day of Judgment. That Qiyamat-e-Sughra, that little Day of Judgment, is just when we come to the realization of Haqq. What is Qiyamat? What is Qiyamat? Qiyamat is nothing but realization that Allah is Haqq. That's what Qiyamat is all about. So that Qiyamat can happen anytime. Not necessarily that it happens, you know, we wait that one realize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Even today, if someone realizes the Haqq, that is Qiyamat. Qiyamat is Qiyam, is standing of the truth. If that Qiyamat happens, you know, even when a person is alive, is Qiyamat. Haqq have stood up. Batil have vanished. So there is that is Day of Judgment. So even today, you know, it has been mentioned by, you know, over and over again, and we have heard that we are in a form of an insan, but in haqiqat, which, you know, the proof of that is this very hadith. There are enormous amount of realities and haqiqas that are around us that we don't really see them as they are. Allahumma arini al-ashya kama hiya. O Allah, show me the things, the dua of the Prophet, the way they are, the haqiqat of it. You know, so now shariat we pointed out to, and while using this hadith, I want to point out to another, you know, another aspect or another means of achieving that. That's the Islamic etiquettes, the akhlaqiyat. For example, inviting a guest. Brotherhood. This helps us to gain that vision. as they say that, you know, Imam had invited some guest and the guests were leaving, and he asked his companion by the ilm of Imamat to have that insight, to have that vision, or look through the fingers of the Imam, as they say, he opened the fingers. And the Sahabi looked through the fingers and he saw balaya, he saw calamities going away while this guest was leaving. So calamity, when we say that calamities, bala, yes, you know, this means that, you know, the destruction of the house and accidental death and these things will go away. But there's much more to that. What could be the greatest calamity that one doesn't really understand what is haq? That is the greatest calamity. That is, you know, Ash'as, Muhammad Ash'as, came to Imam Hussein, and it was either during the time of Salat, and he, you know, really broke the heart of Imam Hussein by saying that your Salat will not be accepted, something of that accord. And Imam was very, you know, disappointed, his heart was broken. And he says that, oh Allah, show him that what is our haqiqah and what is our reality. And he wasn't seeing the haq. The greatest calamity is that. That's what I'm trying to point out with this Ash'as. You know, they were from the Khabis family. Ash'as family was well known at that time, as you know, that, you know, the sister of Muhammad Ash'as was the one who killed Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And the Ash'as, what they did in the arbitration, you know, at the time of Siffin, you know, we are aware of that. And then what happened on the day of Ashura, that a scorpio bit his foot. And he died with that wound. So the haq was there. That is the greatest calamity, that he couldn't understand that. So therefore, Imam pointing out to that, when the calamities are vanishing, when the guest is leaving, is that when one implements the akhlaq-e-islami in one's life, the Islamic values and etiquette in one's life, it will bring him that vision of haqiqat. It will bring him that vision of tawheed. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And this journey have to start somewhere. And inshallah, I will leave that. And then we'll look into this, inshallah, tomorrow. Because this is a subject in itself. Because there are different levels of this journey. The first foundation or the base of it is really, it begins with, you know, ilm, with knowledge, with understanding. Then it comes about iman. Two, when a person have that knowledge of that tawheed, that understanding of implementing the sharia in their life, tarkul haram, anjam of wajibat, akhlaqiyat, ilm, and he must have iman as well on it. Not, ilm is not enough, like we have discussed earlier. The person could be the most knowledgeable, وَيَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا, but at the same time he had no iman on it, no use. So it's ilm, then iman upon those things, and implementation of that comes about with iman, otherwise he's at loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَآمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It has to be at the same time آمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It has to be with iman. Then you have, you know, after iman, there's the question of itminan. One have to have itminan upon it, tranquility of one's heart, that one believe in it. And that is a ni'mat as well. And after having that tranquility is the stage of mushahidat, where one starts to see these things, the haqaiq, the realities. And we'll look into that aspect of it, inshallah, you know, in coming nights if we could, and how to achieve it. And it's not like, okay, now I will gain my knowledge, I'll close doors to everything, I'm just going to sit and gain knowledge. Okay, it's finished now, then I go to iman, it's finished now. It's not like that. It's like a weaving of a carpet. Everything goes hand in hand. The knowledge goes with iman, the iman goes with itminan, the itminan also have mushahidat, on and off of the spiritual unveiling. And finally, a person weaves and weaves and weaves, and finally it becomes a beautiful carpet. One really, really reaches that haqiqah. So it's not like one just, you know, focus towards knowledge, but at the same time, one is after, you know, iman and itminan and mushahidat as well. You know, it comes about. If one really embarks upon that journey with sincerity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, one falls, one gets up. You know, it's something that goes on. I'll give you one hadith from our sixth imam in relation to that, that sometimes we tend to get disheartened. That is not possible, especially that place that we live in, especially the time that we live in. It's so busy. I mean, in terms of our work, in terms of our, you know, studies, you know, when we're out there in the universities. I mean, at least here, you know, I sense that the amount of profanity that our youths face here is less compared to England, compared to Europe. But it's out there to your face. Shaitan is right there to really, you know, catch you, destroy you, deteriorate you. And we flip and we fall. But we have to get back again. When a soldier falls, he doesn't say that, oh, okay, it's over now, come and kill me. No, he gets up and he fights and fights and fights. Till he reaches till he reaches what? Death? No. Till he reaches what? Shahada. Till he reaches, till he becomes shaheed, he fights. Not that he reaches death. So therefore, in this world, you know, especially in the West, you know, this battle is on. And a very beautiful hadith that will help us, you know, enlighten us to be on this path from our sixth Imam Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. It says that وَإِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَمَنْ يُرِيدُ الْبَابَ مِنْ عِبَادَهِ فَأَقُفُّهُ أَنْهُ لِأَلَّا يَدْخُلَهُ الْأُجُمُ. Certain of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, and when they are intended to perform their ibadat, I destroy, or I do not make their plan to be completed, because that I do not want ujub. Ujub is a quality of arrogance that a person would have. I do not want ujub, and it's considered to be a very bad quality. A person sometimes thinks that he is the most perfect when it comes to Sharia, when it comes to hijab, when it comes to deen. You know, he's an authority. You know, there will be like group of people sitting and they ask a question to Maulana. Instead of Maulana replying, he will go and reply. Or there could be, you know, a discussion, but instead of accepting it, you know, he rejects it. And there's a, okay, fine, you can reject it, you can criticize it. There's a way of doing that as well, you know, with akhlaq, with humility, which is Islamic. You know, haven't we heard the stories how the imams themselves, how they taught an elderly person making wuzu? I mean, imams were like that. Prophet is like that. You know, how they teach them. So, he doesn't want, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want that ujb, that arrogance to sit in a mu'min's heart. If that sits, that sits, لَيُفْسِدُ ذَلِكَ. It will corrupt, it will destroy what he has accumulated and what he will pile up in relation to his amal, good amal afterwards. Because that arrogance comes in his heart, after that whatever he is doing is only for his what? For his khud, for his nafs, for his praise, for his self. He's not really doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is for that. So when a person falls, he should not say that it's over. No, he should get up, try and continue. And that's usually tends to be the case, you know, for the first 10 nights of Muharram, you know, we are all, you know, sincerely towards serving Imam Hussein, Matam, you know, same thing in the month of Ramadan, fast, one whole month, Quran and all that. But after that, there's a bit of, you know, descent. And then it should not be descent. After every descent, there is an ascent. So one should continuously try to really implement that while fighting, that you have to keep that light on inside oneself. One should not let that light put off, that go away. And we all have that sense of light in us. We all have that sense of light and sense of goodness in us, doing good. And that should not fade away. That should not go away. And that will bring us back towards Haqq, towards Noor. And we have seen that in the plains of Karbala as well. Habib ibn Mazahir was considered to be one of the friends of the Imam. They were very close. Imam Hussein and Habib ibn Mazahir were very close friends. They have a very good brotherly relationship. It has been mentioned that Mazahir, you know, the riwayat been quoted, that Mazahir invited the Prophet for dinner, and the wife and Mazahir were preparing, you know, for the food of the Prophet. And Habib, as he was the friend of Imam Hussein, and when, you know how children are, you know, when a friend is about to come to their house, they are very happy, joyful, running around and things. So Habib was like that. And he was going up the house, you know, up the roof, trying to look whether, how far they have reached, when are they going to come and come down back. And in this, you know, activity, he slipped on the stairs, and it says that he died. And Mazahir, being loyal to the Prophet, didn't want to give the honor of not holding the Prophet as a guest. So he puts his own son in one of the chambers, one of the rooms, and when Prophet comes, you know, he mentioned nothing that this has happened. Because he wants Prophet, he has invited the Prophet, he wants to be blessed for that. And here, the food was served, and the Prophet was asked to begin. And as you know, the Prophet, Hussein minni wa ana min Hussein. Prophet doesn't start till Hussein starts. Prophet says to Imam, begin. And Imam says that he will not. And he says, how can I start till my friend Habib isn't there? So he calls Habib. And all of a sudden, Habib comes out of the chamber. And Mazahir was shocked to see his son. So when Habib, when Hussein calls, Habib is at the service of the Imam. So Imam writes a letter to Habib while he was still in Kufa. And he says to Habib, who was a jurist, because Habib was very intelligent, he was a faqih. He addresses Habib with that sifat, with that quality, that will you not come and assist the grandson of the Prophet? Then Habib, while he receives the messenger, he brings him, he honors him, he hugs him and he kisses him, and he kisses the writings, he kisses the letter of the Imam, the writing of the Imam, and finally embarks. While embarking, he stops in the house of Hani, and he was also one of the Sahabi of the Imam and the Prophet, and both of them, they went to Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. An Imam had already saved a banner, a staff, a standard for Habib. People used to inquire him that who is going to be the individual who will be holding this standard bearer. It is Habib, he would say. I'm waiting for the person to come. And Habib joined him, and Habib even went on 8th or 9th to Kufa back to gather people and bring them to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, so that they could, you know, fight with Yazidi forces. And he went to Banu Asad and prepared them, and they were ready and they were willing to do that. And this was informed to Ibn Ziyad. Few spies, you know, informed Ibn Ziyad about it, and the battle took place there. And many of them were shaheed before reaching Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then when Habib informs his friend, his mawla and his master about this incident, Imam recites, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And Habib was always next to the Imam. And he's a friend, he's a loyal friend of the Imam. Right from the childhood, they were friends of each other. And it has been mentioned that the amount of distress, the amount of sorrow that was seen on the face of Hussein wasn't seen on that day when he sees his friend in that state. The time of Salah comes and Abu Sumama goes to the Imam and informs him that it is time and we would like to pray behind you before we die. And here Imam does dua for Abu Sumama that, you know, may Allah, you know, regard you or count you from those who are the establishers of prayers in the hereafter. And at this moment, Habib goes towards the Yazidi forces and he says and he asks that, will you allow that we perform our prayers, that we perform our prayers, Dhuhrain, they wanted to do. And at this moment, instead of allowing the Imam to pray Salah, they attacked Habib. Habib was attacked furiously. A blow came on his head, which cut open his helmet, and the sword went through his head. And while he was still trying to support himself onto the horse, a spear came upon his chest, through which he fell upon the ground. While falling upon the ground, he calls his friend, he calls his Mawla and Agha, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. My salutation to Aba Abdullah, my last salutation to the Imam. While hearing this, Imam came at the service of Habib, and here he places the head of Habib upon his lap and he cleans the blood. And he says, Habib says that, I always yearn for Shahada. Oh Hussein, I have always been with your father in many battles. I always, you know, desire that Shahada be given to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have accepted my dua. A dua of a faqih that who wants to achieve Shahada was granted. And he says that, what a beautiful sight that I am dying in the lap of my friend. The friendship, the bond was so close. And here the spirit of Habib descends towards the heaven. And here Hussein says that Habib will be doing his salah and his prayers with the Prophet in the heaven. Allah la'anatullah ala qawm al-zalimeen. Sayalimun ladhina zalimu ayyimun qalibin yanqalibun. Ya Allah, bihaq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, bihaq ashab of Hussein alayhi salam, forgive all of our sins and the sins of our marhumeen. Ya Allah, and make them mahshur with Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bihaq ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, protect the majalis of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, no matter where it has been established in this world. Ya Allah, bihaq ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, protect the zawar of Imam Hussein who are going for ziyarat to Karbala, and may their ziyarat be accepted, and that their hajat be granted, and they return home safely. May Ya Allah, bihaq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect all of our maraj-e-izam. Ya Allah, bihaq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect our elderly ones and the young ones, and put them onto the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bihaq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, return our 12th Imam, haze the zuhur of our 12th Imam as soon as possible, and include us as his faithful companions. Matam Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.